Some time later, God tested Abraham's faith.
Abraham?
God called.
Yes?
He replied.
Here I am.
Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you have had loved so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you.
The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for a burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance.
Stay here with the donkey,
Abraham told the servants.
The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back.
So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said,
Father?
Yes, my son?
Abraham replied.
We have the fire and the wood,
the boy said.
But where is the sheep for the burnt offering?
God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son,
Abraham answered, and they both walked on together. When they had arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven.
Abraham, Abraham.
Yes?
Abraham replied.
Here I am.
Do not lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son.
Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Ira, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven.
This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond the number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me.
Then they returned to the servant and travelled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live.
Fantastic. Do keep your Bibles open as Pete comes up and works us through some of that passage now.
Great. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you guys. It'd be great if you keep your Bibles open. I'm just going to move the bell because otherwise I'll ring it halfway through. And before I begin, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that it speaks of your glory and your grace to us. And we pray now that by your Spirit you would speak to us. Help us to understand what it is you have to say to us. Father, be with me. Help me to serve your people and bring glory to your name this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know the right answer? Can you keep calm under pressure? Are you skillful enough? Do you have the strength to keep going? Will you tell the truth? Can you remember correctly? Life is full of tests. Tests of our knowledge, tests of our ability, tests of our character. And whether you're sat in a sports hall awaiting those dreaded words, you may now begin. Oh, horrible. Or whether you're at work from someone, just ask if you look the other way on this one. Or whether you're waiting for the whistle to step up and take that penalty. We are always being tested. And although tests are often stressful and hard, they prove very useful. They teach us lots about ourselves. Am I able to drive a car safely? Should I be allowed to operate on someone? Do I really believe that God's word is true? We read there, don't we, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now, you might have had some really hard tests in your time. I studied a course in university called The Origins of the English Gentry. I tell you what, that exam was horrible. If you've been taking GCSEs or A-levels this summer, then you may even have had some questions that were quite literally impossible. But I doubt if any of us here this morning will have had a test quite as hard as the one that God set for Abraham. You see, back in Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, we read these words. Your wife Sarah, this is God speaking to Abraham, your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. God promised Abraham that his son Isaac would grow up, he would have children, that God would bless every nation in the world through Isaac, and that God would keep his promises with Isaac. But then God says to Abraham, there in Genesis 22, just a few chapters later in the Bible, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. It must have been completely life-shattering for Abraham to hear those words. In effect, God said to him, go and kill your son to show that you love me more. If you are a parent here today, then you can perhaps imagine some of the emotions that Abraham must have gone through hearing those words. The confusion, the bewilderment, the grief, the shock and the despair that he must have felt. Perhaps the panic. The sheer difficulty grasping what had just been asked of him. Sacrifice, Isaac. Show that you love me more than you love him. Abraham responds to the test that God sets him in two remarkable ways. We read in verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. No word of protest. In fact, no words at all. He just obeys God. He saddles the donkey. He cuts the wood. He would have packed the knife. He walks to Moriah. He climbs the hill. He builds the altar. He ties up his son, Isaac. And we read in verse 10, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He could not have possibly understood why God was asking him to do this. He must have wept and laid awake at night, unable to think of anything else. Every step towards the mountain must have felt like torture to him. Every moment speaking to Isaac must have been so bitter for him. And yet, because God told him to do it, he reached out his hand and and took the knife to slay his son. God tested Abraham's obedience, and Abraham passed. The second response of Abraham to the test that God sets him is equally remarkable. We read in verse 5, he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. We will come back to you, both of us." He had faith in the promises of God. Abraham knew that God had previously promised that Isaac was the one through whom Abraham would have descendants more numerous than the stars. Abraham knew that God had promised that Isaac was the one through whom all nations would be blessed. Although he didn't know how killing Isaac was part of the plan, he had faith that God knew what he was doing. He had faith that both he and Isaac would return to the servants. And Abraham had faith because he knew who God is. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is the name, as we've already looked at, that's given to God that means the Lord will provide. So as Abraham and Isaac climb the hill, Isaac asks his dad, "Where's the lamb that we will kill for the sacrifice?" And Abraham replies, with faith in Jehovah Jireh, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering." So, God will provide. We also read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 19, that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So he trusted that this was not going to be the end for Isaac. The Lord would provide. God tested Abraham's obedience. God tested Abraham's faith. And Abraham passed the test. And so we have three very simple applications this morning for us. Number one, know God. Number two, trust his promises. And number three, obey his word. That is what God wants for our lives. That is what God wants for us as Highfields Church. Abraham was able to do the second two, to trust God's promises and to obey his word, because he knew who God is. He knew that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. He knew that he is the God who keeps his promises. He knew that God is good. And he knew that though everything in his circumstances told him to doubt and to disobey the command to sacrifice Isaac, he knew that God knows best. And so we pray that as we grow in the knowledge of God and what he has done for us, so we too will trust him more and become more obedient to his will. We're going to pause there for a moment, and we're going to sing our next song. It speaks about God's love for us. It's something that is really important for us to know as we seek to trust and obey him. So we left our passage a few moments ago with a knife in Abraham's hand and Isaac lying on the altar. And our attention now shifts from Abraham to God. Is he going to let Abraham carry out this awful act? Will he allow Isaac to be killed, to be sacrificed? So we read from verse 10. If you've got your Bibles handy, it'd be great to have them open. We'll read from verse 10. "Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham!' 'Here I am,' he replied. 'Do not lay a hand on the boy,' he said. 'Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son.' Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horn. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. A wonderful thing about the character of God is that he never changes. Malachi 3 verse 6. So, in all situations and circumstances, God will provide. In this instance, Abraham is stopped from killing Isaac by an angel, and God instead provides a ram, a daddy sheep, to be sacrificed in his place. In the moment of deepest despair and anguish, God steps in. And because God doesn't change, we ought to have faith that he can still do the same today. He can stop the bullying. He can fix the marriage. He can heal the illness. He can provide the money. He can bring success in work and at school. Yes, he can. But I would be lying this morning to you if I said that he always will provide in this way. Trust in Jesus and there will be no more bullies. No more illness. No more broken relationships. No more mundane job. No more bills to pay. That kind of false, destructive thinking about God has no answer to questions such as, why then did my friend die? Why did my wife leave me? Why did I fail my exams? Why can't I get a job? Why can't I find a husband? Why can't I pay the bills? Why don't they stop bullying me? Why does God not provide? And what about our Christian brothers and sisters in Afghanistan or North Korea, as we've thought about these last few weeks? What about the church in Pakistan and China and other places around the world? At this very moment, as we sit here this morning, many of them are in prison or being tortured or even facing death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus. Does God not provide for them? You know, the answer to these questions, and they are difficult questions, lies in a tiny detail in Genesis 22. Tiny. You may not have even spotted it as you read the passage. It's just something that doesn't quite match up. Now, young people, I'm guessing you've got sharp eyes here this morning. So I've got a question for you. I want you to shout out. I know we're in Highfields, but shouting out this morning is okay because I'm preaching. What did Abraham find in the bush that he sacrificed instead of Isaac? There in verse 13. Mum and Dad, if you can help. What was that? Excellent shouting out. That was brilliant. A ram. Okay. But in verse 8, what did Abraham say to Isaac that God would provide? It's a bit of a harder one. You have to look back. Verse 8. Moms and dads. A lamb. A lamb. Excellent shout out again. Go for it. You know, God provided a ram. Like, I was speaking to someone this week and they said, is that really important? A ram and a lamb, they're pretty much the same thing, right? God provided a ram and dealt with Abraham's immediate need. He is the God who can and does intervene to heal, to feed, and to bless. Not always, but he can and he does. But 4,000 years after Abraham and Isaac sacrificed a ram, John the Baptist saw Jesus walking towards him. And he cried out these words in John chapter 1. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. And in Jesus, God provides for his people in a far deeper, far more complete way than he did for Abraham when he gave him a ram stuck in a bush. God sent Jesus to be the sacrificial lamb in place of everyone who would ever put their trust in him. That means that if you trust in Jesus today, however old or young you are, his sacrifice on the cross is in your place. Your sin, all the things that you have done to offend and reject God, is placed upon him. And all of his righteousness, his goodness, is given to you. That's what happens when you trust in Jesus as your sacrificial lamb. You may not have loads of money, but if you trust in Jesus, you know the riches of God's eternal blessing in your life. You may not have the perfect relationships, but through trusting in Jesus, you can know the God who loves you perfectly, will never let you down, who you can call Abba, Father. You may not achieve all that you ever dream or imagine, but in Jesus, your status cannot be higher as a member of God's family. You may not be popular, be the one that everyone wants to be around, be the celebrity, but if you walk with Jesus, then you are never alone. And the blood of Jesus tells you just how valuable you are to God. You may not be strong enough to cope or to conquer, but when you trust in Jesus, the Spirit of God lives in you. And you are able to do all things through him who strengthens you. You know, Isaac got off that altar, and a ram died instead. But Isaac eventually grew old and died too. The ram only gave him a temporary benefit. And if God only fixed the problems of this life, then he would not be Jehovah Jireh. He would not provide for his people in the deepest sense. But God is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. He already has. He has given us Jesus. He is the comforter for the brokenhearted. He is the hope for the desperate. He is the strength for the weary and the light for the lost. He is the answer to every question that you ever have. He is the provision for your every need. He is the friend of the lonely. He is the joy of the grief-stricken. He is the captain of the leaderless. And he is the portion for the dispossessed. He is the one who gives wisdom in confusion. He provides security in adversity, guidance in darkness, courage when we fear, deliverance from the depths of despair. I say to you this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, people who have lives filled with need, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has provided.